The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 732. It's the 13th of March, 2017. On the podcast today, I have Greg Kunzel, Managing Director of Georgian Mining Corporation, ticker there is GEO, and Greg goes over the recent drill results at the Kavimo Bolnese East Gold Discovery. Plus, I also have Jerry Randall, the CEO of Venture Life Group, who introduces a new CFO, Adrian Crockett, who has a very impressive CV. Check out the big names there. Also on the podcast, Malky, Oil and Gas Sector Authority, chats about the following stocks: Sound Energy, Amerisa Resources, and President Energy. Plus, I also have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, plus the top five most liked RSs on the platform this morning.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Greg Kunzel, Managing Director of Georgian Mining Corporation. That's GEO ticker. Greg, thanks for coming back on.
Thanks, Justin. Good to be here.
Yeah, you're obviously working hard, because last time I spoke to you, you were at the airport on the way out there, weren't you, to do some...
Yeah. No, we've obviously had a lot going on at the moment, and some great results out today, and a lot happening on multiple fronts. So, it's an exciting time.
Well, there's been a lot of likes for the RNS this morning on Vox, and I say your stock is up, as I'm looking right now, around about 5%, and we'll go into the news in a bit. But for people new to the podcast or new to Georgian Mining, what do you do there, Greg? Give us a summary of the business, please.
Sure. Look, GEO has a 50% interest in and operational control over an 860 square kilometre copper gold licence area in Georgia. What I think sets us aside from most other companies at our stage, though, is that we have access to nearby processing plants, which are owned and operated by our local JV partner. So they offer us a fast track through to production. It's an area that it's a prolific producing area located on the Tethyan Belt. We've got a huge amount of historic data. Over 300,000 metres of historic drilling was undertaken by the Russians back in the 40s and 50s. So it gives us a leg up as far as an exploration tool. Large license area, excellent jurisdiction, low development costs, and as I said, near-term production.
Okay, well, you've got the further drill results. So take us through some of the highlights there, Greg. Is it living up to expectations?
It is. Look, the Kavimo Bolnese East project, which has become our target area over the past 6 months, was originally identified last year because of some of this outcropping gold oxide mineralization. Now, we'd originally identified that as a potential target for some small-scale early production. We have access to our partner's heap leach, which is only 7 kilometres away, where they've processed a significant amount of the same type of material. These oxides occur at surface, usually down to around 10 to 15 metres, but sometimes deeper. Back then, when we were doing work on the gold oxides, we subsequently discovered a significant copper sulphide resource sitting under it. So that sort of gave us a change of tact. And the work up to this point has been focused predominantly on the copper sulphides. But what we've done is we've split the Kavimo Bolnese East area into three targets. There's the copper sulphides, which we released results on a few weeks ago. Some excellent drill results there. The first three drill holes, including one of 114 metres at 1.7% copper, 47 metres at 2.8%. We've got another 17 drill holes that should be back from the lab in the next week or so. But around that area, we're still seeing a lot of this gold oxide material. Now, we've split it, as I said, into three zones: the copper zone, gold zone 1, and gold zone 2. Now, the results that we've put out today relate to gold zone 2, which just sits a little bit north of where we've been drilling the copper target. It was originally identified again by outcropping mineralization. We've done over 2,000 meters of channel sampling there, and we got some fantastic results from the rock outcropping rock channel sampling, including 100 metres at almost 1.2 grams per tonne, another 100 metres at 0.8, 24 metres at 3. Those results led us to do a small drill program. We have a smaller rig there that was drilling down to 20 metres. The first seven holes included some excellent drill intercepts. Again, all at surface or very close to surface, including 20 metres at 2.2, 14 at 2, 12 at 1.3 from 8, another 20 at 0.74 from surface. What's important, though, is most of these drill holes ended in mineralization, and the mineralization is open in all directions. So this has led us to expand the drilling at Gold Zone 2. We've just started drilling some deeper scissor holes to give us a better idea of the depth extent of this target. But it's looking like it has the potential to be something quite substantial, which is very exciting. And given it sits alongside where we're still working on the copper, it now looks like we could have, instead of a couple small open pits, what we're working on now is one large future open pit footprint at Kavimo Bolnese. So all very, very exciting.
Yeah, and so how long do you think the drilling program will go on for now, Greg, there?
Look, the drilling's going to continue. I mean, what we've been able to do, given the access to the infrastructure and the float plant and the heap leach plant, what it's been able to allow us to do is set smaller short-term targets. Mm. Now, we've set ourselves a 1 to 2 million ton resource on the copper as a immediate target. Now, the drilling results that we should be receiving shortly will put that 2 million tonnes at 1% or plus on the map for us. We've then got a larger target of 3 to 5 million tonnes in the area that we'd like to achieve this year. But ultimately, given the similarities we're seeing here at Kavimo Bolnese with the Madnuli mine, which is only 7 kilometres away, they've been mining there for 30, 40 years now, processed over 80 million tonnes of ore, running an average grade of 1% copper and 1 gram gold, we think there's the potential to have something of a similar size, if not larger, at Kavimo Bolnese East. So although the work is focused on the shorter term targets now, the plan is to move into production, to use the cash flow generated by production to continue to fund the development, because ultimately, although a 3 to 5 million ton resource is great and that provides us with 3 to 5 years of production given the available capacity at the plant, we believe there's a much bigger potential here. So we'll be continuing to drill, we'll be continuing to develop that resource. We've got other areas within the 860 square kilometres that, to be honest, the work that's been done today, although limited, lends us to believe that we could have some significant targets outside of Kavimo Bolnese East. So there's a lot of work to be done, but we're focused at the moment on getting this copper gold project into production to start generating cash flows to then expand the overall resource development and exploration program. So quite a lot going on.
Yeah, exactly. And I suppose you'll be releasing, like you said there, you sent samples off to the lab. And so I assume you'll be releasing sort of results of these on quite a regular basis now.
We will. We've got, as I said, we've got the additional 17 holes that are already being assayed that were on the copper zone. There's been more drilling done there as well, so there'll be additional results. Those will then go to generate a resource upgrade. On the gold, we've got additional short holes that are currently at the lab being assayed. We'll then have the deeper holes coming back. Work's now also being done internally on scoping studies and mine plans. We've got metallurgical work underway. The initial met work that's been done to date all goes to show that the mineralization is of the same type that's been processed through the plants. So we should have no issues there. One of the next critical stages is finalizing offtake agreements with our local partner. So that'll be underway over the coming weeks. So lots of news flow as we head into summer.
Excellent. Okay, well, if someone's listening to this, Greg, on the commute or in their car driving somewhere or at home, they think, I like the sound of this project, and they just need a bit more convincing as to why they should put you on their watch list. Could you give us three reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page, please, Greg?
Sure. Look, we've got a significant license area with multiple prospective projects, and all very, very scalable in a well-known region that's produced a lot of large producing mines. We have an initial gold copper resource, which is going to allow us to go into production in the short term. And I guess the third is linked to that, the fact that we have access to existing operating plant and infrastructure, which reduces the capex and infrastructure cost of the company significantly. And it also significantly reduces the timescale for us to move into production.
Absolutely. Greg, thanks very much for that. And like I said, regular news coming out, so I look forward to chatting to you again in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Fantastic. Thanks for your time, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Jerry Randall, CEO at Adrian Crockett, CFO of Venture Life Group. That's VLG. Thanks for joining me, guys.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Welcome.
Now, Jerry, we'll talk to Adrian now. There's a new appointment there, and a heck of a CV, I've got to say. I've been reading about it, so we'll get to that in a bit. But before we do that, as always, Jerry, for people not aware of what you do, could you give us a brief summary as to what the business is all about, please?
Yeah, sure, Justin. So Venture Life is an international consumer healthcare business. We sell into the self-care space. So we develop products that are sold through the pharmacy, that customers will select themselves, pay for themselves, and use on themselves. We sell through international distribution networks, so we sell in 40 countries. We have over 80 partners, as well as being able to find one of our products here in the UK in the likes of Boots, Tesco's, Sainsbury's, etc. So we have our own manufacturing facility in Italy as well, where we develop our products. So we're vertically integrated and, as I say, selling in all of the major continents around the world.
And going by previous chats we've had, you seem quite excited about this year. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. 2016, which obviously we finished now, was a sort of seminal year for us, not only because we had record revenue growth, but also we've generated our first EBITDA profit. And we just see the business moving on from there. We've got great operational leverage now, fixed cost base, and driving more revenue through. We'll see a higher marginal drop through to the bottom line for us. So you'll begin to see a much greater operating profit from us in the future.
Marvellous, and there with you at the moment, Adrian, newly appointed as the CFO. Adrian, thank you for joining the podcast, and take us through, Adrian, where you've been and why you've ended up here at Venture Life, please.
Okay, certainly. I started my sort of healthcare stroke pharma career many years ago with a small spin-out company called Powderject, based in Oxford. Through various acquisitions, one by a company called Chiron, which is a US-based pharma, and then by Novartis, I continued roles of varying responsibility as I grew with those companies. Novartis Vaccines and Diagnostics, I finished my time as head of their BPA function, which was a global role looking after the whole of their business processing workings. Excuse me. They wanted me to move when they were relocating to Boston in Massachusetts, and I decided not to do that at the time. I took up a role then as head of R&D pharma with GlaxoSmithKline, based out of Greenford initially, and then we moved to Stockley Park in the UK. Following that, I was asked to join Parexel, which was a company that carries out clinical research for the large pharmas, and I had quite a lot of contact with them during my days with GSK. Mm-hmm. Working with Parexel for a couple of years, and again through contacts, I was approached by Abbott, which are another large healthcare company. When I joined them, they were just going through a split. They split themselves out into Abbott and AbbVie, and I was finance director for the diabetes care division. I worked there for 5 years, and during that time had many and varying roles to carry out, many varying projects, not least the launch of a new product, which was a novel device product for diabetes. It was called a flash glucose monitor. Mm-hmm. Post that, I've now joined Venture Life. Abbott were going through some changes in their finance function. I decided it was time for me to look for challenges new. I've joined Venture Life, and there's many things that attracted me to this role. I like the company's strategy, and I like the focus on providing value for shareholders. But I also really liked the focus on improving health and the quality of life for an aging population. The fact that Venture Life carries out most of its own development and manufacturing was also a contributing factor for my decision. I think my background in pharma and healthcare, with a broad base in manufacturing, I've worked in manufacturing for quite some time, both with Novartis and with Abbott, make me a good fit to help drive the company forward. Jerry impressed me significantly in an interview with his passion for the company, and I felt that Venture Life had an exciting product portfolio, both in established and development. And the launch of three new branded products that are forecast in 2017 is a good example of this.
Yeah. Go on, sorry. Stop there. Go on, sorry, Adrian.
No, I mean, Jerry's already mentioned it, but revenue growth year on year, 57% in 2016, was very impressive to me. And I hope to make a positive impact in this growth in the future. So it's only been a week. This is the start of my second week.
Yeah, well, it must be quite exciting though, because I'm looking at, like you say, your previous companies there, and they are almost in the billion-dollar revenue brackets. You know, quite a few of them. So to now come to a smaller company, I suppose it's exciting for Venture Life and for yourself there, because I suppose you have more of a say in what's going on, especially with a CV like yourself, and you can actually, like these big companies, is it hard to change any kind of direction, have a big say in what's going on because they're so big?
I think that's very fair to say. I think a lot of the decisions are already made in a corporate head office, and really you just implement those decisions. I mean, I go back to my start in sort of the healthcare pharma sector. Patergec was a small company, and I remember that fondly, and the ability to get involved in the day-to-day running of a company and the day-to-day business decisions was also a great attraction in me joining Venture Life.
Yeah. And Jerry, from your perspective there, it must be nice to have someone of Adrian's standing joining the company and, seeing obviously the potential he can bring to the company, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're very pleased Adrian's joining us. Great CV, great person, great chemistry with the team. So we're very happy that he's here. And it means I can spend more of my time on my day job rather than bridging the CFO function, which I've had to do for a few months.
Yeah, exactly. So, like I said, this year is shaping up to be exciting, and especially with Adrian coming on board there now, it takes a bit of pressure off yourself there. Okay, well, you know the score, Jerry. I mean, people listening right now are thinking, yeah, I like the sound of the new guy there, and I like the sound of the company. So, if they need three reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page, then could you give us those three bullet points, please?
Yeah, sure. I think the first point, as you've mentioned already, Justin, is we've broken through into EBITDA profit in 2016, and we're just going to go forward from there. So we're now a company that's going to be profitable. And of course, in the healthcare space, that's to some extent a rarity, but also a very desired characteristic for an investor, because we're in charge of our own destiny. I think secondly, we're in that great demographic of the aging population. That's just an expanding market, greater drive towards self-care, growing market both in the UK and internationally, and I think that's an area where people want to be in a company that's got a diverse portfolio of products and in many countries, so a good low risk model. And I think finally, our share price currently sits at less than 50% of the target price in both of the analyst research notes that are published. I think people are waiting to see us deliver on this profitability, and now it's there, I think you're going to see significant progress in the share price, so a good time to get in.
Yeah, and I had, like I said, a technical analyst look at the share price, and she likes it a lot. She says that 52 pence level, which was at a while back, seems like a bottom there, and all the moving averages are turning up to a positive level. So it's almost like, say, if you can break this 62 pence, 64 pence level, it's going higher. So it's good news. Jerry, Adrian, thank you very much for chatting to me. And like I said, it's a year of improvement in the performance of you, and so you'll have no doubt plenty of news to come out in the next few months. So I look forward to chatting to you again in the not too distant future. Thank you very much, guys.
Great. Thanks, Justin.
Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Oil and Gas Sector Authority. It's Malky. Morning, Malky. All right, fella?
Yeah, good morning, Justin. I'm very well indeed. Thank you.
Yeah, well, listen, the sun is shining. I can hear the birds tweeting outside. The oil price, though, is at the three-month low. But the thing is, this OPEC deal, it hasn't got the major guys at the table, has it? You've got the US, apparently the US are up in their rig count now. Now the oil price is stable. So it's always going to have a problem, isn't it, this OPEC deal?
Well,
I'm
not so worried, actually. I mean, I think it's a question of confidence and seeing it through. I mean, I think that, the Americans will increase their production. And I think for the time being, the Saudis and the rest of them will cut back their production. We had a few days where, people thought that, it was Sierra week last week. So, everybody except you and me were in Houston talking to, the big conference there. And, I think just people are panicking too much. I did say 3 or 4 weeks ago that the guy who I follow, a guy called Andrew Pancelli on Cycles Analysis, said that the oil price was a sell for the short term. I'm not quite sure how much further it has to go. He's a West Texas player, so he's 40. He's probably got 46 on the books, I think, 46 something or other. So, but I'm not too worried about it. It is grief having been, I think, down 6 consecutive days now there, Justin.
Yeah. Okay, so what stocks are you looking at this morning, Malky?
I'm going to look at Sound, I'm going to look at Amerisa, and I'm going to look at President.
Okay, let's go. It's a lot of news out of Sound last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I speak about Sound all the time, but in fact, at the moment, there's so much going on, you have to, because apart from anything else, you must have hundreds and thousands of punters in this one. So I spent the end of last week on tour with Sound Energy, some of the time with a bunch of the shareholders, and we went to see the new well, which has just been spudded at Badile, that's in Milan, just literally in the outskirts of the industrial quarter of Milan. This is a very, very potentially big well for Sound. I mean, ironically, because Italy takes so long to get things done, that when I first looked at Sound 3.5 years ago, whatever it was, Badile was the big prospect for Sound. Yeah. And I had 35p a share in it at that stage, went up to 50p when they increased the chance of success to something over 30%. Now you look at it, and of course it's not such a big part of Sound's empire with Morocco and so on. But the bottom line is that if this well comes in, it'll take about 100 days because it's a deep, deep old well, and it's going to do a little bit of sidetracking, a bit of a deviation. It's well more than my 50p a share. I mean, it could be twice that. And so it's still very significant to Sound, they've been plugging away with all the Italian stuff, and in the space that it took 3 years or more than 3 years to drill Badile, it took about 3 months to get all the planning for the Morocco stuff. So I will mention Morocco. It's very important at the moment, Justin, for two reasons. First of all, the Tendrara well, which is TE8, which is a sort of quite a long distance, 12 kilometres or whatever, away from the existing one. For a lot of people who feel that Sound is quite fully valued, Tendrara 8 has to come in, and for other people, it's just going to be the icing on the cake. You pay some money and takes your choice. But the bottom line is that this thing is now it must be in the reservoir by now. I know that we saw an announcement on Friday saying that they cased it down to pretty much the top of the reservoir. So I would expect it's a nervy old week for Tendrara 8, but I'm still confident that it's going to deliver the goods, and it's very important for sound. So we'll watch this space very carefully.
Okay.
TEA, if it comes in as a delivery well, then there's a lot of excitement on sound still. And the shares are up at 90p again, I saw.
Yeah, exactly. I was just looking now on the chart. 91 pence. It's funny, last week we were chatting, and IRG, of course, took off because of James Parsons' involvement there and the renaming of Echo. But, I mean, and at the time, it was like 225% up. And I said, I wouldn't be getting it now. I'd wait for a bit of a pullback. It ended the day 665% up, so that wasn't a good call by me.
Do you know what it is up since the close of play before all this started?
Say again?
Do you know what it is since it's closed the play since it started?
No.
940%, mate.
Wow, I know. So it's nuts, isn't it? Sometimes you see a stock do 200% in a day, a small cap, and it will come back generally, and it didn't, did it? It literally went higher and higher,
it wouldn't stop. Yeah, it came back a bit, and then the buyers came in again. I mean, this guy walks on water as far as the retail are concerned, and they've been very clever followers of him before, so...
Yeah, exactly,
and he's been well backed by Continental Marco Fumigali, who's on the board of Sound.
Yeah.
He's put his money where his mouth is. So, we'll have to watch this space because I think there'll be things happening with that stock.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, what's the next we're looking at, Marky?
Well, Amerisur is on my bucket list and has been for a couple of years because, it's a proper quality play in the sector. And, I've been watching it for the last week or three and all it's done is come down. And they brought some news out on Thursday and Friday of last week, but both of which were very good news, and the shares have still done nothing, which makes me believe that there's still a possible seller in the marketplace because, the news should have been good. First of all, they announced production from Colombia, which is very good. 4,100 barrels a day through the ABA into Ecuador, and another few hundred barrels a day elsewhere. This is good news. The ABA will continue to increase. It's actually got very high capacity, but they will be building a new pumping station. We always said they would, probably on the Ecuador side of the border. And I think that on the basis of that, I would expect to see bigger production. There's more wells coming on all the time, and they're very, very high-value wells. And then the second announcement was that on Platanillo 22, there's that new well underway after resolution of what they call local social issues. This is, if you remember when the FARC deal was done with the government, and it has been done now, they have to stop growing the naughty stuff and start growing proper crops, Justin.
Yeah, I see.
And so that local social issue has been sorted out. Amerisur at 20.5p, which is what it was when I looked at it this morning, is ludicrously cheap. Quite what's going to make it go any better, given we've just had two announcements, I don't know. I'm going to speak to the management today. I've just been back. I'm just back this morning from that trip. See if I can sort of pick up any other bits and pieces. But management is of excellent quality, senior level. And then, all the way through, I've met them in Colombia. So they've got a very good team. I would expect this one to go better. It's too low, the stock.
Yeah, it's a funny-looking chart. Just climbed down for the last, I don't know how many trading days. It's a little several weeks it's been going down for, And, I mean, it hit a low at the start of the year, around about 18, so, 17 odd. It may even test that again. You never know. But it's a good support level there. So, there we are. Put it on the watch list there. And what else are you looking at, Marky?
Well, I wanted to talk about President because this is a stock which had a pretty hard old time last year.
Yeah.
This is President is run by an energy or industry expert called Peter Levine. I've mentioned it before. They're drilling in Argentina, and they've just set up a program a few weeks ago. I mentioned it on your program. A well workover program with a number of different things. They've got to get on with the existing wells and get them worked over and increase in production. This will be quite a lot of wells producing, you know, maybe 100, 200 barrels a day, but put in together will be very valuable wells. And they've got shut-in wells, which the good thing is that they'll be able to open them up and frack them and get them back onto production. The rest of the wells should be fairly straightforward. And therefore, you know, the company now, which is determined, had a lot of technical problems last year, which I felt sorry for them because they were in some trouble, and the technical problems didn't help. Now they're looking so much better. They've got a target of 1,200 barrels a day by September. I'm sure they'll easily do that, probably a bit more. I'm looking forward to getting a bit of positive news coming from President. They announced something last week, and there's probably plenty more to come. It'll be drip, drip, drip of generally positive news. The shares have done nothing. Market's probably forgotten about them. Mm-hmm. It's well worth a look.
Yeah, cool. Okay, and the ticket is PPC. Thanks for that, Malky. Speak next week, fella.
It's a pleasure. Look forward to it.
All right, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. It's a measure of money, essentially. People only follow companies for one of two reasons. One, they're invested in that company. Two, they're doing research, which may lead to investment. So it's often worth checking out, because on AIM especially, of course, you know, you get news and momentum is nine-tenths of the law.
Yo.
So at five, Infrastrata, INFA. I did write a blog on the weekend. By all means, subscribe to the blog. Get it to your inbox on a Sunday evening or early Monday morning. And it was three risky micro-cap stocks that have multi-bagger potential, and Infrastructure is one of those. It's a 2 million market cap, pretty much. And if they do the deal, if they get the funding for this gas storage project, then it'll be a serious re-rate. So INFA, check it out. At four, URU Metals. URU, this is not investment advice, I'm just saying. Like, for example, Infrastructure, they're very risky, like I say in my suggestion, my title. It's a binary bet there. If they get funding, it'll re-rate. If they don't, who knows? Anyway, at four, URU Metals, URU. At three, Mineral and Financial Investments. Ticker there is MAFL. I do love that ticker. Hello, MAFL. Oh, it's big Auntie MAFL comes round with her cakes and puddings. I don't know why I think of it as a name as someone would call an auntie, not a real auntie, but someone you'd call an auntie, you know, like a MAFL, big, quite a chunkyish character. Rotund, but jolly, you know. At two, LGO Energy. That's LGO. And at one, the most followed company. A lot of noise around this company. I had them on the podcast last week. They listed last week. Anglo African Oil and Gas. That's AAOG. Is the number one most followed company on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. Here's top five most liked RNSs. At five, Vast Resources. Ticker there, Vast. Appointment of Chief Operating Officer, me chief. At four, Amur Minerals, AMC, completion of Ice Road. At three, Mayen Energy, MYN, operations update. That was also actually highly disliked, more than it was liked. So, it's a bit of skewed there, the figures. At two, Anglo African Oil and Gas, AOG, initial completion of interest in Tilapia Oil Field. Tilapia. Anyway, at one, the most liked RNS out today via London Stock Exchange and on Vox Markets, like there on the platform, is Georgian Mining Corporation, GEO. I just talked to Greg about that. Their drill results at Kavemo Bolnizi, East Gold Discovery. That's it for the podcast. Don't forget, get the app if you haven't got the app. It's free but priceless. And also, subscribe to my blog. Why not? You can see any blog post I do, a little link there. Just click there, fill in your first name and email address, and you will get sent a newsletter once a week. No more than that, just on stocks that I've probably acquired or doing research on. And, it's a bit of information for you if you like stocks and shares, like reading about stuff. Thanks for listening anyway, by the way. Muchos apreciados. Speak tomorrow.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.